And that was Sonny Boy Williamson 2 and 9 Below Zero. And I am really pleased to welcome my guests, 9 Below Zero, all of them. Is this all of you or is there more of you?
Oh, there might be. Who all we left us. In the van?
I was going to say.
We left Jimmy.
We've left Jimmy in the van.
The door opened and one came in, two came in. And then I was thinking, oh, OK, there's quite a few coming through that door. Yeah. So we've got a lovely, cosy studio for them this afternoon. So would you like to all introduce yourselves? Go around and introduce yourselves to everybody.
Dennis, guitar, vocals.
Tom, guitar and keyboards.
Ben, bass guitar.
Sonny, drums.
Charlie, vocals and shaking stuff.
Mark, harmonica.
Very good. And you are a slightly different lineup for your original lineup, Dennis.
Yes,
is that true?
Yes, yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Loads behind, sort of. No one's died in this band, which is amazing.
Good.
So they've just been left pastured in the fields. Mm-hmm. So we picked up some young bucks, some puppies, as we call them. And Mark and I, the originals over there.
Yep.
So that song you heard was where we got our name. And we copied it from the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones took their name from a Muddy Waters song called Rolling Stone. We thought, well, that's a good idea. When you just played that, I was transferred back to when I was these guys' age or younger, you know, and I just wanted to play that music. It's funny how certain music grab you. They grab you, you don't. Anyway,
absolutely,
so Mark and I would just study that stuff all the time. So we're talking 1977, Mark and I put a little blues band together in the middle of punk. And we've been together 40 years as 9 Below Zero. We changed the name in 79, got a record deal with A&M Records. And the lineups have changed over the years as it's developed. And
because we're talking 40 years, we're not talking 40, a couple of years. So that's an amazing achievement, and still to be going strong.
Yeah, and stronger than ever. Yeah. I mean, this lineup, I think, is probably one of the best we've ever had, and it's all happened naturally, which is nice.
Yeah, so you're going to be playing at the end of this discussion. You're going to be playing a track from your new album, Avalanche. Mm. And so you're doing, this is the Are We There Yet 40th anniversary tour. And do you want to explain why you decided to give it that name?
Or
Charlie?
Is
it kind of self-explanatory? So Charlie, you do vocals, don't you?
Yes.
Do you want to bring the microphone closer? We've had to move the microphone away because you've got such a loud singing voice.
I'll move it back afterwards. Yeah. I do vocals. And we've written some stuff together, and I'm also opening for the tour, so when we play tonight I'll be opening up singing with the band as well.
And Charlie always says, are we there yet? In the
I've
bus.
Always got 10 questions every time.
So Charlie named the tour.
Very good. Yeah. So that's from your this album that's come out now, and so your lineup's quite different. But back in the day, in 79, we were talking off air that I think I probably saw you in some of the bands in some of the pubs around Fulham way.
We started in South London at Thomas Beckett, very famous pub, boxing pub, and the Apples and Pears in Bermondsey. We started there because we lived there. Mm-hmm. First gig was in across the water was North London at Dingwalls. And then we went west, and we did the Greyhound in Fulham
Palace Road.
I think that's where I saw you,
Or the Nashville Rooms. Or the Golden Lion.
In
Fulham. So they were the great... But back in that time, the music scene in London was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you had Dire Straits in Deptford, the Police just starting up, Elvis Costello, I remember his first gig at Nashville. In 1 week at the Marquee, I saw The Jam, a young band from Australia called AC/DC. Just unbelievable. And I'm talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day of the week, there was bands to see. Cheap tickets, you know, it makes me laugh when I look at advance ticket things now. You know, £120
for a ticket. Oh, it's ridiculous.
A year and a half in advance. We used to go and see The Clash, you know, for 80 pence and just turn up.
I don't know whether you've seen, you won't have a chance because you've been on your tour, but The Clash have got an exhibition at the Museum of London.
I've been there.
Have you? You saw it? Yeah, so I've been there and done it
wonderful.
As well. So,
yeah,
so I would say I highly recommend for anyone that was around at that time.
Yes.
There's some great photos and some memorabilia there, But getting back to yourselves, so I think, because I went to school in Hammersmith, and Hammersmith Odeon was just across the road, and that was one of your big places you played, wasn't it?
Yeah, we used to. But
now the Apollo for anyone
doesn't
realise.
We used to we have the Hammersmith Palais and the Hammersmith Palais.
Of course, podium, yeah.
The Rainbow Theatre. Yeah. In
I remember Dingwalls as well.
Dingwalls
was
amazing.
Yeah, that was a big one.
The Hammersmith Odeon. I mean, don't forget also, we signed to A&M, and our representative, Derek Green, said, we'll book you in a Hammersmith Odeon. But we'd only just been playing Thomas Beckett, and he said, no, in 9 months' time, you'll sell out Hammersmith Odeon. And he was right.
He was thinking that far.
Absolutely.
He knew the trajectory, as it
were. This is when record companies were entrepreneurial, they were forward-thinking, they had your career very much in mind, and they developed you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just... I think we were lucky. We came into the record business when it was really at its tops.
You find it... in the 80s, did it dip, or did you just change different things? How have you found... Because you say you've come back stronger than ever now.
Yeah.
How have you kind of morphed?
Yeah, we came into... So our first tour was with The Who and The Kinks, and we learned very much quickly the etiquette of being on the road, being with, you know, how to conduct yourself in that environment.
In that time,
to play on stage.
As support for them, would you get involved with them, or were you just sort of...
Well, we were told we were not allowed to go anywhere. We were sat down by the tour manager in the corner. You do not do this, you do not talk to the band, and you don't do this. Within 2 days, we were everywhere.
Right.
Because they saw in us, themselves, an early rhythm and blues band, how the Kinks and The Who started.
Of course.
And also, very much, we were all Londoners. They were Arsenal, I was Tottenham, he's Millwall.
Oh, I'm Tottenham too.
Yeah, and so all these things, we were just like, you know, we had so much in common, and we were just buddies after two gigs.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was lovely, good time.
So what happened after that then?
We just been going on and on and on, and it wasn't until 2000 that we decided that we formed our own record company.
Oh, okay.
Because the business is changing every 5 minutes, and you've got to keep up with it and adapt with it. So we changed the record company. A few lineups. Mark's been, one of the top session players. He's played with just about everybody around the world. So Mark was doing that. We've just survived within the business.
So you haven't ever taken a break from it. You just carried on, just in different. Brilliant.
I was looking for a break. This music as well. It's very journeyman music, you know, and like you get better with age. The more you play, the better you get.
Mm-hmm.
And these young guys, it's nothing to do with age. I mean, Mick Taylor was 17 when he joined John Mayall. These guys, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah.
And it's very much like that. And my son has been brought up within the music industry.
Yeah, I kind of noticed, you know, your name was probably something to do, which is brilliant.
It's mixed.
And these guys are just like, you know, talented and good enough, and they come in. You know, and it's the chemistry now is wonderful. You know, you've got these old two midfield players, and these guys run around for
keeping
the ball.
You young.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
So tell me about the gig tonight then. It's at the Junction. Do you know any more about it than that?
Not
or shall
really,
I
no,
shall
no.
I shall I fill you in on this?
No, it's at the Junction, kicking off at 8 o'clock, is it?
Yeah, so doors 7, I'm on at 8, the band's on at 9.
We played the Junction quite a few times,
yeah,
haven't we?
Yeah. It's a lovely venue,
crew,
isn't it?
Great crew.
Yeah.
We know them very well. Yeah.
No, that's good. So you can settle in and just go for it.
Yes.
So it'd say, but the door's open 7, but Charlie, you're going to be on at 8.
Yeah.
And are you unaccompanied, or are you with...
Yeah, so I'll be playing guitar for myself. For
all
myself.
On your own!
Solo performing, yeah.
And what sort of style are you on your own?
Like or Ricky, soulful, aren't you? Folk. Punk music.
Yeah.
I would
suggest, if I may, that anyone who is considering going tonight to get there to see Charlie.
That's what I was going to say. That's important.
That's why it's probably important at the times.
Yeah.
So you can see her set in
absolutely,
its entirety.
So many people sort of say, oh, well, I'm just going for the main band. And I think it's shocking.
That's a typically English thing, I think. Because when I went to America, everybody's doors 7, everybody's in. I noticed that difference.
Yeah.
This cool
people
thing of missing the opening.
Yeah. And also, I find for that, I think, well, I've paid the money. I'm going to see that. I'm going to get my value for money. I'm not going
to. I mean, I went to see a band called Dr. Feelgood in
1975. Oh, yeah, I haven't heard of them either.
Hammersmith Odeon.
Yeah.
And see, I was different. I was there at doors, and the opening act was a band called Squeeze. Now, I would have missed them if I'd taken that attitude that lots of people have.
I agree.
Get there
I'm
early.
Definitely on your side on that one, aren't you?
Make
I think, because you get to see, that's the way you find new music as well,
yes,
isn't it? Otherwise,
you only go
if you're going for the person that you know you're going to like.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to find, and sometimes you get two supports. So, yeah. And that's always
we
good.
Took the least amount of money at the Albert Hall because we played with Eric Clapton, and everybody was in watching the band. And the bar was very annoyed because nobody was in the bar while the support band was on. They was all watching the support band. So we've even seen it from that side as well.
Yeah, so maybe we shouldn't tell Junction that then. That sounds brilliant. So,
oh, no, the bar's in the pub.
The
bar's in the Junction.
The bar is inside.
Yeah. The Royal Albert Hall, it's not. It's on the periphery.
Even the
outside.
Merch stands are all inside there.
Everything's inside. Yeah, the van, the cars, yeah, the car park. Everything's in the Junction.
So then you can't get away. So you're definitely going to see. So that's Charlie at 8 and then 9 Below Zero at 9, mm-hmm, at the Junction, which is very close to here, very easy for everyone. Now, would you explain, or you're going to play live, play us out live, mm, one of your songs. Do you be playing tonight?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Will you be playing a mix this evening?
Yes, I've been saying since... we did a lovely week's extensive rehearsal for this tour where... And also with the other guys coming in the band, they can say, you know, what about that song you did in 1992? That, and you think, oh, yeah, OK. So they've really helped...
Find ones that you're aware of that you might have forgotten yourself, yeah.
That catalogue we have. Plus, I've never done this before, but we're playing 6 tracks from the new album.
Mm.
And it just fits lovely around everything else we're doing.
Brilliant.
You know, yeah, it really is a great set.
So as I said, the new album's called Avalanche.
Yes.
And I guess your social media things is 9 Below Zero. I guess you're not easy to find,
aren't
you?
Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to find you, if they're not aware of you, that's one way to go.
Yeah.
So explain what you're going to play us to finish with.
Explain what we're going to play.
You might need to get close to the microphone.
Come into this microphone.
Okay, yeah. So this is one of the tracks off the new album. Charlie takes lead vocals on it. And it's a co-write with Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze. And, we've been playing it on tour for a while, and we actually re-recorded it for this album because it's been so popular with our audience. So,
yeah.
Oh, so it started as a live track. And then
we wrote it with Glenn for an album we did together, because Glenn's our neighbour in Greenwich, London. And we wrote this song called To Wit To Woo, and it was lovely. And I thought, do you know what? If we just rearranged that, changed the key for Charlie to sing, that would be good for the big band. And it's worked out fantastically.
So you're not playing big band tonight, though, are you?
Medium-sized band.
Yeah.
Medium band.
Just checking.
Small big band.
All right, then.
Small big band. Yeah.
Thank you ever so much, all of you, for coming.
Thank you.
Your time to come in, and because I know you've got a busy old day today. So thank you very much for coming, and I'm looking forward to hearing this. That's Twit Two.
Trust and feel no shame, and the end result.
Thank you very much. It was absolutely brilliant. That's going to be shivers down my spine. Thank you very much, Line Below Zero.